It's about being a lover of self, not a lover of God. This kind of wisdom in this world, you know what this wisdom of the world does? It blames God for their problems. It blames their parents for their problems. It blames their genes for their problems. It blames their environment for their problems. And the fact it is, it's them.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and once again, we welcome you to the Love Never Fails radio broadcast. On the program this week, Pastor Bill continues his study from the Epistle of James, and today he concludes the message, The Test of Wisdom. Now, Pastor.
They're prepared to receive him and desire him and want him and worship him, the most wicked person that will ever walk in the history of mankind on this planet. He is called Antichrist. And he's going to show up on the scene because the world is getting worse and worse, meaning it's falling into God's plan. And there's no wisdom of this world, just foolish wisdom, demonic wisdom, sensual wisdom, earthy wisdom. Boy, and the Bible says, listen, here comes a man as the world is in so much trouble, and he's going to come to man, and he's going to have all the right answers. And the world's going to hear, oh, yeah, but the problem is they're not godly answers. But the world doesn't want godly answers because the world doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Loved one, listen to me. And he's coming with all kinds of lying signs and wonders. People are going to believe all this stuff. They're going to be drawn to him. You read Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18, and you know what you're going to find? They will take the mark of the beast. You know what I mean? This unbelieving world. They'll take the mark, and they're going to want to take the mark. They're just like, listen, people stand, stand in line for In-N-Out Burger. Give me a break. This world will stand in line to get the mark. Why? Well, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't get anything without it. And they'll say, yes, I'll take, thank you, give it to me. Because man goes on the natural appetite, not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is foolish to them. Loved one, God's wisdom is not foolish to us, is it? No, and you know what? If we were gone. I wouldn't need these. Man, I'd probably have like eagle vision. Wow, you know? I had eagle vision last night at 2:00 in the morning. I jumped straight out of my bed. Oh my gosh. You know, the reason my voice sounds the way it sounds like now is because, you know, we're in the height of mountain cedar, you know? But my wife, she loves to sleep in this time of year with the windows open. So I shared my bedroom with mountain cedar. And so when I woke up at 2:00 in the morning, my throat was like the Sahara Desert. I mean, I had nothing there. I thought I was going to die. I thought I did die, you know. But then all of a sudden, I heard these screams. I mean, screams like I'd never heard before. I mean, it was blood-curdling. And you know what it was? Feral cats right outside my window. I jumped up in my pajamas because I had on my Superman pajamas. I jumped up. I ran to the front door. I got my gun. It's the BB gun. And there was a cat that was so big, a white cat that was so feral and so ferocious. I went back to bed. Scared me half to death. I've been up all night. What did I tell you that for? Did you get anything out of that? No. Well, that's the wisdom of the world, all right? Now look at verse 16. He says, for, now he's giving an explanation, a term of explanation. That's what that word for means. For where envy, or that jealousy, self-seeking exists, that selfish ambition, look what he says, confusion and every good thing. Oh, wait a minute. That's Mario's translation, isn't it? Every what? Evil thing are there. Now listen, That is the fruit of the wisdom of the world. Look at it. It is earthly. It is sensual. It is demonic. And look what it creates. It creates confusion. That word means disorder. The same thing that Jesus said in the end. He says, before the Son of Man comes, there's going to, he used the word. He says, there's going to be commotion in the nations. That same word is the same word here. Disorder. Unstable, not knowing what to do, and so forth. It's the same word used in James 1:8, double-minded man, and here's the word, is unstable in all of his ways. It's the same word used in James 3:8, where it uses the word unruly, a confusion. We live in a confused world. People are confused about their own identity. That's the wisdom of the world, loved one. No, the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of disorder or the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. Disorder is the absence of peace. And counterfeit wisdom is never, never full of peace, and it's always full of confusion. And there's so many people today in this world, they're confused about life. But you shouldn't blame God. Why? The Holy Spirit just told us. What wisdom? What did he say? He said, every evil thing is there. Meaning that word literally means every worthless, every wicked, foul practice is there. Meaning nothing good comes from verse 16 at all, where every evil thing is. So what does James do? He's getting ready to give us seven divine attributes of wisdom, okay, that comes from above. Verse 17 is one of the key verses in this section. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is first what? It's pure. Then it produces something. That's why that word then. So the pureness produces peacefulness, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So, but the wisdom that is from above, remember James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Father of lights, with no shadow of barrenness and all that, remember? So the source of all wisdom, true wisdom, is only from above. Now listen, we live in this world. We hear the wisdom and the foolishness of the world all the time. But we're not of this world. Amen? No, boy, thank God. Listen, we're citizens of heaven. Our home is heaven. Our treasures are in heaven. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, wisdom is the gift of God, and it is only given to those who are believers, okay? If you seek it, if you want it, you can find it by opening your Bible. But the first thing it is, the wisdom that comes from above, it says it's pure, it's unmixed, it's clean, it's incapable of creating confusion in your life. That's what he's saying, it's incapable of that. It's incapable of producing any kind, any form of evil. It'll never give you an impure thought. It'll never lead you in an impure direction because it's God's perfect wisdom. So wisdom from above, if it's not pure, well, it's not God's wisdom. Never forget that. People say, well, God told me to do this all the time. But you shouldn't say some of the things that people say. You understand that? Boy, you get in all kinds of trouble. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God, that you're holding your Bible right now, your app, whatever you may have, every word of God is pure, perfect, unmixed. It's clean. Free from all anything that would make it impure. He's free from. The Bible says, Jesus said, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Now, the next one, wisdom from above is peaceable. It delights in peace. It promotes peace. Peaceful, loving toward people. In other words, this kind of wisdom, it brings people together. It doesn't separate them, if you will, and so forth. And this is not peace at any price. You remember, some peace is not worth having, and so we have to discern it by the Spirit. For example, whenever in the temptation scene of our Lord and the devil in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, remember when he tempted Jesus, one of the temptations, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he says, all these can be yours, Jesus, for they have been given unto me, meaning because of Adam. And he says, if you want them, I'm paraphrasing now. He said, you want them? All you have to do is one thing. Fall down on your face and worship me, and they'll all be yours. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to be beaten and all. You know, just a shortcut right now. I'll give it all to you. But you get on your knees and you on your face and you worship me. That's not peace, is it? That's not wisdom, is it? No. Listen, we have to be careful here. Now, also this wisdom from above that God gives, it's gentle. In other words, it's gentle in dealing with others. It's gentle in the way it acts toward other people. And it's always willing to make room for people. That's the kind of wisdom God has. Has God made a lot of room for everybody? Amen. In other words, this kind of wisdom comes from Philippians 2:5, where Paul gives a command to the church at Philippi. And he says, let this mind or this attitude, this action, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord, okay? That is a command to think like him, act like him, love like him, forgive like him. And we do it by the power of another, the Holy Spirit, amen? And then Paul continues and he says, who didn't think of himself. And Jesus didn't. He didn't think of himself. He thought of you. He thought of me. And it says, but gave himself for the sake of others. See, wisdom from above is gentle. The wisdom from above is also willing to yield, or it's approachable. In other words, God's wisdom, if you will, there's people that are operating in God's wisdom. You're willing to listen to others. You're willing to, when it's like we need to pray, you're willing to pray always. Amen. Men ought always to pray and not faint, Jesus said. Now, and so it means this also. It means a willingness to come together and reason things out. How do you know that comes from God? Isaiah 1:18. What did God say? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be, remember? Yes. Can you imagine how good God is? Come and let's have a conference. Come, let's talk this over about your sins. I want to make them as white as snow. Amen. Oh, that's the wisdom of God. It also says the wisdom from above. True wisdom is full, look at it, of mercy. That word means compassion. And it's full of good fruits. That means kind works or kind actions. Oh, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. Psalm 23:6, David says, surely. It is absolutely certain. That's what that word means. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy. If you read that in the Hebrew, it would be pictured as an animal in hot pursuit after you. That's a picture. Goodness is running after you, and God's mercy is running after you. So full of that goodness of mercy or that compassion, meaning that we have pity upon people. God's wisdom says you have pity upon people. And that for a Christian, that's more than the emotion. It's where we do something with it. Amen? We have an action, if you will, behind it, like the Good Samaritan. So this mercy comes down from our Father in heaven who is rich in mercy. It says in Luke 6:36, therefore be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful, Jesus said. He said in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Look at the next two. Without partiality. That word is only found here in the Greek in the New Testament. It means that God's wisdom can never be divided. It's not parted out. God's wisdom is whole. So it's never divided. But wisdom from above is always impartial because God's no respecter of persons. Now, and then it says without hypocrisy. God's wisdom is genuine. God's wisdom is a real thing. There's no pretending with God's wisdom. Amen? It is genuine. Wisdom from above is always sincere. And then he moves and he says in verse 18, look how he closes this out. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by whom? By those, by who are they? They're the verse 17 crowd, okay? In other words, those who love peace, promote peace with the wisdom of God, the ones who make peace, by those who make peace, or literally those who work for peace, sow in peace, and create peace, loved one. So those who are truly wise apply the wisdom that comes from above, and you know what you are when you do that? Right here in this verse, you're a peacemaker. Blessed, it said, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Amen? And that's who we are. Let me read another proverb, if you don't mind. Proverbs 3:13. It says this, Solomon said, And he was the wisest man, remember? It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And now he's going to tell us why. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Which would you rather have right now? 10 tons of silver or 10 tons of God's wisdom? Amen. And then you could go get the silver. You know what I mean? Yeah. He says, and her gain is greater than fine gold. Listen to what he says now about wisdom. Wisdom, she is more precious than rubies. And more than that, wisdom is more precious than rubies and all things you may desire. Whatever you desire in this life, Solomon said through the Spirit of God, they can't compare to wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Here it comes. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths that you take, every path you go down when you're operating in the wisdom of God, it says, are peace. Man, I could use that. I mean, peace in my house, peace in my heart, peace with every person, peace that only comes from the Prince of Peace. Here's what I want you to do. Do a Bible study later on verse 17, and this is what you're going to find. Every one of those divine attributes, those characteristics of heavenly wisdom, each one of them are Christ. Every one of them is Jesus. Why? Because wisdom is a person, Colossians 2:3, in whom, meaning Jesus, it says, are hidden all the treasures, not some, all the treasures of wisdom, all the treasures of knowledge are hidden in him. They're not hidden from us. They're hidden for us. You go and get them. Amen? Oh, listen, God is so good. How can we ever turn to this fallen world, the wisdom of the world, wisdom from friends who don't even read their Bibles and tell us, oh, you need to do this. Listen, God tells you what to do. God's word tells you what to do. He says, this is the way marriage should be. You don't have to have a marriage like the world. You have a marriage like I planned it. I'm wise. I created marriage. You didn't create it, you dummy. That must have been the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Now listen, you can't teach James. You can't study James without going back to a verse of Scripture that I have used, I think, every time in James. There are only two ways to live life on this planet, Christian. You can only build your life the wise way or the foolish way. You remember in Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, not everyone has said to me, Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of my Father. And then he says in verse 24 of Matthew 7, therefore, very important scripture. He says, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do anything I ask you to do. He says, you're not wise, man. He says, and you're not even probably saved. He says, therefore, Matthew 7, 24, Jesus says this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, the sayings of Jesus, doctrine, the teachings of Jesus, equal in doctrine, equal in application, equal a worthy walk and pleases God. Amen? Okay, Jesus said, listen now, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him to what kind of man? Wise man. Don't you want to be a wise man or woman? Amen. He says, a wise man who built his house on the rock. In other words, who built his life on the rock, Jesus. And the sayings of Jesus. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house. Hey, it didn't fall. Why? It was founded upon the rock. These sayings of mine, upon Jesus our Lord. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man. He didn't build his house on the rock. He built his life on sand. His family's life, his children's life, on sand. And he says, oh, man, the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house. It fell, and great was its fall. Christian, don't build your life on sand. Oh, it may support you for a year, a 2 year, maybe 3 years in your marriage or whatever you're doing. But there are going to be storms in your life. There's going to be trials in your life. There's going to be hardship in your life. Do you understand me? And if your life is only built upon hearing God's word and not doing God's word, you're on sand, and when the storms come, great will be the fall of your house. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Jesus is made wisdom unto us. This is the word of the living God. Romans 1:22, remember what it talked about, how man is without excuse? You know, the Bible says all of us, in Ecclesiastes, we have eternity in our hearts. God's put it there. And we know, if you read Romans 1, he said, you look up into the stars and look at creation. You know there's a God. You know there's a God. And he says, even in your conscience, I put my laws in there. You know that I'm real. So it says in Romans 1:22, they professing to be wise, they became fools. In other words, they professed to be wise about God, about creation, and all of those things. And they ended up fools. You know why? Because man bases his claims on his own limited knowledge, which is the wisdom of this world. No. Have you ever been to the Ark in Kentucky? Amen. Did you know who got a private tour of the Ark as it was finished? His name is Bill Nye. You might know him as a science guy or whatever they call him. Let me read after he went through the Ark, let me tell you what he said. Science educator Bill Nye was given a private tour of the 100,500-foot long Noah's Ark in Kentucky. Here's what he said. He called the Ark a danger to the nation's science education. Nye said he hoped that the Ark would never be built because it would indoctrinate children into this extraordinary and outlandish, unscientific point of view. Well, God's word just says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. If you look up that word in Greek, fools, it means morons. Yeah. So the greatest moron, the greatest moron in all the world is the one who exchanges God's wisdom for the wisdom of this world. Man's wisdom always lowers God's wisdom. And man will never solve his problems on this planet because he refuses to believe in the source of his problem. It's called sin. Sin. You know, listen, maybe you're listening live. Maybe you're on the radio right now. You know, I don't know. Maybe you're in this chapel. And I know we're getting ready to celebrate communion, but just, you know, listen to me now. If you have never asked Jesus to be your Lord, why not? You want wisdom from heaven? Here it is. Come to Jesus now. He died for you. He loves you. He wants you. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Hell was made for the devil and angels, Jesus said. Now, that's the wisdom from heaven. Here's the wisdom from hell. Oh, from the devil himself. Oh, you have tomorrow, man. Don't worry about it. You got tomorrow. No, you don't. You don't have tomorrow. You only have right now. And if Christ is not your Lord, asking Jesus to be your Lord doesn't mean you're joining this church. You can't join the church. You have to be born again to get into the church. Amen? A denomination, Calvary Chapel, can't save you. But Jesus can. He can wash away your sins. He can fill you with the Holy Spirit. Man, he'll give you an adventure that you never thought possible. So our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If Jesus is not your Lord, you don't have to come to this altar. You don't even have to get out of your chair. But you just have to lift your hand high and put it right back down. And that indicates, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want to be saved right now. Anyone in this second service this morning say, Bill, that's me. Quickly, just lift your hand high. Yes, God bless you. I see that. Just lift, anyone else, just lift your hand high, please. And just say, and if you put it right back down, last call. If you feel that in your heart, you better hold it up now. You don't have tomorrow. Well, Father, you saw the hand that went up. Maybe there was more, but I didn't see any. You saw the hands that come up online, those that are listening live. So those who lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me out. Say, Father, today I heard your wisdom. It's pure wisdom. I want it. Jesus has been made wisdom. I want him. I want to be saved. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would ask Jesus to be my Savior, you would save me. Oh, Lord, I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with more of his James series. We look forward to seeing you once again. Thanks for listening today, and please enjoy the rest of your day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.